Exactly 20 years ago yesterday, on June the 17th, 1997, Bishop Vlasny ordained me a priest forever at the Cathedral of the Sacred Heart in Winona, Minnesota. And exactly 20 years ago today, on June the 18th, 1997, I was offering my first solemn mass of thanksgiving at my home parish of Queen of Angels in Austin, Minnesota. The chalice that I'm using this morning at today's mass, I received as a gift from my parents and my brothers and sister, and I blessed it and used it for the first time exactly 20 years ago today. If you know Father Marty Schaefer, the vice rector at Immaculate Heart of Mary Seminary in Winona, and if you know Father Tom Loomis, the pastor at Holy Spirit Parish in Rochester, please wish them a very happy anniversary as well. They were ordained priests by Bishop Vlasny exactly 25 years ago yesterday on June the 17th, 1992. Perhaps some of you were there at the cathedral for my ordination 20 years ago yesterday. Our opening hymn this morning brought back some fond memories because we sang, "O God Beyond All Praising," as the final hymn at my ordination. John Ballard always says that I introduced that hymn to ordinations for the Diocese of Winona. If you were at my ordination 20 years ago, you remember at the end of the beautiful Mass, Bishop Vlasny announced to the whole congregation with his characteristic laugh, smile, and twinkle in his eyes, he said, and he looked right at me, and he said, "The diocese isn't big enough for the two of us." And the whole congregation laughed, and he said, "So for your first assignment, I'm sending you out of the country. You have to go back to Rome to finish your degree. That's your first assignment." Of course, everybody laughed again. The divine irony was that 4 months later, Pope St. John Paul II appointed Bishop Vlasny the Archbishop of Portland and Oregon. And here I am after 20 years. And praise God, please God, I'll be here for the rest of my life. In a happy act of divine providence, my 20th anniversary as a priest falls on Father's Day weekend in the United States of America and in the life of the church on Corpus Christi Sunday. Next year on Father's Day, I will share with you my reflections about spiritual fatherhood. We'll dedicate the whole sermon to that next Father's Day. But today, on this Corpus Christi Sunday, I want to talk about the connection between the Eucharist and the priesthood. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal high priest, instituted the Eucharist and the ministerial priesthood together in the upper room on Holy Thursday night. So the same night, the same place, the same time, our Lord instituted the Eucharist and the priesthood. As our own Father Luis so beautifully said in his sermon from this pulpit on Holy Thursday night, we cannot have the Eucharist without the priesthood. If we don't have a priest, we can't have the Lord's body, blood, soul, and divinity. And we can't have the priesthood without the Eucharist, because a priest, by definition, has to have a sacrifice to offer. So they're intimately connected, the priesthood and the Eucharist. My patron saint is St. Thomas Aquinas. He's the great doctor of the Eucharist and of the priesthood. We'll get to sing at the end of Mass some beautiful hymns written by St. Thomas Aquinas for this feast day. And he writes in his famous Summa Theologica about the priest. And he says the priest has two acts. One is principal, namely to consecrate the body of Christ. The other, St. Thomas says, is secondary, namely to prepare God's people for a reception of the sacrament. Now, according to Archbishop Jose Gomez, who's the archbishop you know in Los Angeles, he comments on this very section of the Summa Theologica. Bishop Gomez says this: "This is a good way for the priest to understand his mission. As centered on the Eucharist, all that he does, his teaching, his ministry in the confessional, his preaching, his administrative duties, his work in the community, is ordered toward preparation to getting God's people ready for the encounter with Jesus Christ in the Eucharist." And that is exactly how I've understood my sharing in the one priesthood of Jesus Christ for the past 20 years. It's all about the Eucharist. My whole day is centered on the Mass. As St. Thomas Aquinas says, the principal act of the priest is to consecrate the body and blood of Christ. And that's why I have offered the holy sacrifice of the Mass every single solitary day of my 20 years of priesthood. And I keep track. This Mass, this morning, is Mass number 10,087. 10,087 Masses. So in 20 years, almost more than 10,000 Masses. That's on an average, for all of you mathematical giants, of 500 Masses a year. That, the Mass, is the source of my inspiration as a priest and the summit of everything I am as a priest. So the Mass, I like to say, is both the Lake Itasca and the Gulf of Mexico of our spiritual lives. The Mass is where everything begins. It's the source, the Lake Itasca, of every grace. And yet it is also where everything is flowing toward, the Gulf of Mexico. It's the beginning and the summit of our spiritual lives, and especially for me as a priest. Everything else I do as a priest, baptizing, hearing confessions, witnessing marriages, teaching, preaching, bringing people into full communion with the church, everything is ordered toward preparing you for that ultimate moment when you and Jesus can become one body, one blood, one flesh in Holy Communion. My whole life as a priest is to prepare you for that ultimate moment of intimacy between you and the Lord in Holy Communion. My little friend, St. Thérèse of Lisieux, says, our Lord does not come down from heaven every day to lie in a gold ciborium. He comes to find another heaven which is infinitely dear to him. The heaven of our souls. Isn't that beautiful? Jesus doesn't come down from heaven to stay in the ciborium, that chalice-like vessel with the cover that I use to distribute Holy Communion. Jesus doesn't come down from heaven to stay in the tabernacle. Jesus doesn't come down from heaven to be shown in the monstrance, as beautiful as our monstrance is. Our Lord comes down from heaven to find a home in your soul. That's because the lover desires union with the beloved, right? The lover desires union with the beloved. And so Jesus Christ, the divine bridegroom, wants his body and our body to be one. He wants his blood and our blood to commingle together, to be one. He wants our souls to be united with his soul. He wants our humanity to share in his divinity. Jesus says, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, lives in me, dwells in me, and I in him. I always tell our young people when they receive their first Holy Communion, I say, in this world, there is no greater union with Jesus than when we eat his body and drink his blood in Holy Communion. The only way you can be closer to Jesus is to see him face to face in heaven. This is my greatest desire as a priest, so that everyone would have union with Jesus in Holy Communion. This is what I've wanted for 20 years of my priesthood. The post-communion prayer today summarizes this so beautifully. We pray, grant, O Lord, that we may delight for all eternity in that share in your divine life, which is foreshadowed in the present age by a reception of your precious body and blood. Beautiful. Our union with Jesus in heaven is foreshadowed by our union with Jesus in Holy Communion. So our share in divine life in heaven begins now on earth when we eat his flesh and drink his blood. It's all about union with Jesus in Holy Communion. Near the end of his life, my patron, St. Thomas Aquinas, was praying in a small chapel of St. Dominic's in Napoli, in Naples, in southern Italy. Remember, St. Thomas was a Neapolitan. He was very passionate. He was born there in Rocca Seca, which is south there near Napoli, near Naples. And so he was praying one day in this chapel of St. Dominic in Napoli, and he was on his knees before the altar and the crucifix, and St. Thomas was very passionate. He was crying. He couldn't understand what he was trying to write. He was crying and begging the Lord for answers. And all of a sudden, to his amazement, the corpus came alive on the crucifix and spoke to St. Thomas. Our Lord said, Thomas, you have written well of me. What reward would you like for your labors? And St. Thomas responded, Nihil nisi te. Of course, he responded in Latin. Nihil nisi te. Any first-year Latin 101 student can translate this. It's really easy. Nihil means nothing. Nisi, a contraction of two words, si meaning if, and ni meaning not. So it means if not, and te means you. Nihil nisi te. He said nothing, if not you. What reward do you want for your labors? St. Thomas said nothing, if it's not you. St. Thomas said, I don't want anything if I can't have Jesus. Lord, you're the only one I want. I only want you, my one true love. I so desire you, Jesus, your body, your blood, your soul, your divinity. Please, Jesus, in your mercy, grant me you, and only you, and nothing more. Nihil nisi te. Amen.